Sports World with Caroline Barker on the BBC World Service.
Well, we continued our Winter Paralympics preview on Sunday Sports World with myself, Caroline Barker. I was joined by Caitlin Cerubi, an alpine skier from the United States who competed at the Vancouver Games 4 years ago, and Gary Anderson from the website insidethegames.biz. We began by discussing the latest situation in Ukraine and the possible effect on the Games in Sochi.
Well, obviously, this news has come as a bit of a surprise, really. But I guess the Cameron has to take into account the situation in Ukraine. But I suppose it sort of follows a similar pattern in the build-up to the Sochi Olympic Games, in the fact that a lot of heads of state and members of government came out and said they weren't coming to Russia for the Games, and that was down to security fears, which were mainly coming from the threat of terrorists from within Russia, and also in protest to the anti-gay laws that Putin had signed into law last year. So I guess this development just is another sort of, you could call it another blow to Putin's sort of image and the environment surrounding the Paralympic Games. But I guess it just remains to be seen what will happen in the coming days.
Caitlin, as an athlete, I don't know whether you've spoken to other athletes that are in Sochi. How concerned would you be with what's currently going on around the Games?
You know, I think as an athlete going to compete in the Paralympics, or even just, you know, going to travel with your family, it's always important to understand and be knowledgeable of what's going on. But if I were to go and compete, I would trust that the people in charge would be doing what they can to keep us safe, and I would just go there and concentrate on why I'm going and try to compete to the best of my ability, regardless of the surrounding, what's going on.
I guess, and this is the final point I'll make on this, Caitlin, but I guess what it does show is that there's increased attention on the Paralympics when we do have these outside factors and people commenting on whether they would or wouldn't go.
Yeah, I agree. And, nice that, you know, this year versus in the past, the Paralympics are getting more coverage, at least in the U.S., but I would just hope that the focus could go back on the athletes and their potential rather than what's going on.
So let's focus then on the sport. So we're going to run through those six sports that make up the Winter Paralympics. And in the Winter Olympics, we had curling, which grabbed people's attention around the world. So could wheelchair curling do the same? The sport made its debut in Turin in 2006. It's a mixed team sport made up of four players, similar to its able-bodied equivalent, but there's no sweeping. Ed Harry will be covering the Games for Sports World, and Ed's been speaking to a member of the Canadian team, joining for a golden hat-trick.
Yes, Caroline, Canada have won the last two wheelchair curling golds at the Winter Paralympics, in Turin in 2006. And then last time out, that was in Vancouver, a home Games for the Canadians in 2010. Ina Forrest was part of that most recent triumph, and she's in the team again for Sochi as they look to secure a third consecutive title for their country. She's been telling me what first attracted her to this sport in the early 2000s.
There's a team aspect to it. So there's a camaraderie of being on a team, but then there's also the individual aspect. So you can work on your personal performance. And so I think it's the perfecting of your personal performance that I really enjoy, and the competitiveness of being at the international, national level so quickly. I played competitive sports before my accident and always enjoyed sports, and then was out for a lot of years. So coming back into a competitive sport filled a gap that I didn't realize I was missing.
So you mentioned pre-accident. Just remind us what that accident was and what kind of sports that you were playing before that time.
I was just playing high school sports. So I was track and field, volleyball, broomball, fastball. And then when I was 21, we had a head-on collision with a impaired driver, and I'm a paraplegic now.
So you take up curling, and I think within 6 years, you're part of the national team, not just the national team, but the national team when the Winter Olympics is being hosted by Canada in Vancouver. And you're part of the team which wins the gold medal, a victory for the host nation. I'm sure there are many memories, but what is perhaps one that you cherish above all others from that Games?
I think the most wonderful part about that games is the fact that you could have your family and friends there. And so when you win, you can turn around and you can look up and you can see your family and your friends sitting up in the stands cheering for you. And that's just the most amazing feeling. So to do it in my home country, but it was also my home province, you still have that same feeling come back to you when you even talk about it.
Now, obviously, you're in your sort of bubble when you're competing. You mentioned friends and family are around you, but what about the celebrations that came afterwards? Was there something that happened when it suddenly struck home to you quite what you'd achieved and maybe the much broader impact of what you'd done?
You know you've won, but the big moment is always getting the medal and having that national anthem being played and watching your flag go up. And many, many years of watching Olympics as a child and as an adult and just imagining what that's like. But you can't imagine, I don't know, the emotional charge of that exact moment. And I like to say it was just so much elation and joy, and it's just this huge swelling in your chest that threatens to bring on tears, but it's not a moment that you think is right for tears, so you can't even cry. So it's fabulous. Recommend it to everybody.
Well, explain to us a bit more about the sport, because the main difference from the curling we've already seen at the Winter Olympics in Sochi is what? No sweepers, no one brushing furiously to smooth the way for that stone as it slides along the ice.
That's right. It's a little quieter game. There's no one yelling, trying to get people to sweep faster. We sit stationary at the hog line and then just deliver the stone with a stick from a stationary position. So, and that's, you know, basically the only differences that there are. Beyond that, all the rocks are counted the same. Most of the other general rules apply as well. So it's very similar, but without the sweeping, it changes your strategy and it changes the shots that you look at, just because you can't maybe position them or manipulate them the same way you can with sweepers.
And it's a mixed team sport, isn't it? Obviously, what we've just seen in the last couple of weeks in Sochi, men's teams and women's team, but a mixture of men and women in the same team. What does that do to the team dynamic? Is there some friendly rivalry between the men and the women on the same team?
I suppose there probably is, just in, you know, men and women playing sport together. But overall, you come together as a team, same as any other team is, and really play together. So it maybe changes up dynamics a little bit, but I think fairly much the same as any other team. You just go out and play together.
Canada are going, what, for a third consecutive Paralympic gold medal? You were involved in the most recent triumph 4 years ago. How confident are you all of achieving three in a row for your country?
Well, we come into the games with high expectations for ourselves. You know, we've been training hard and we think we have the ability to be medal contenders if we play each and every game to the best of our ability. So we're hoping to put on a performance we can be proud of and end up being happy with the results as well.
Ed Harry, Gary Anderson from InsideTheGames.biz still with me. And Gary, how much of an achievement would it be for Canada if they could go on to win their third consecutive gold medal?
Yeah, well, I think it'll be a really tremendous achievement. I mean, winning three Paralympic titles in any sport is a great feat. And no matter what the sport, I mean, that is it's the pinnacle of the sport of wheelchair curling. And to get three back-to-back Paralympic titles would be really such a great achievement. And Canada have really been the top nation in the sport since it first made its games debut in 2006. I mean, they are the current world champions, but I think they will be up against a strong Russian team who won the world championships in 2012, and I guess on home ice they'll be out to get the fans going and try and get that elusive gold medal. I think too that the Swedish team will be strong in Sochi. Mm. They've got two bronze medals, and the South Koreans who took silver last year out in Vancouver will also be a threat. So
lots of competition for them. Caitlin Sarubi, although you're an American and alpine skiing is your sport, you were in Vancouver. What was the reaction like in Canada following that wheelchair curling success?
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. It was kind of an ideal situation for them because not only were they the defending Paralympic champion, had the extra pressure, and were able to perform under that extra pressure, but they were also in their home country. So it was kind of the perfect storm of emotion for them when they won the gold. And, I mean, you can feel it. Like you said, I'm an Alpine, but, I mean, everyone knew that they won.
Do you think it could have the same impact as curling did at the Winter Olympics? Because it was everywhere on the back pages of newspapers across the world.
I think so. I mean, it's a very impressive game. You know, it's technical and it's tactical, and I think it's definitely growing in, popular view. So I'm happy to see what this game does for the sport.
Plenty of time, Caitlin, to talk about your sport at the Winter Paralympics, alpine skiing. I don't need to tell you this, but one of the older sports featured in the Paralympics since 1976. This is your sport, Caitlin. You've competed in all five. How rare is that?
Yeah, it was definitely fun and interesting. But I was definitely busy that week, for sure.
I bet you are. I'm missing out this time round through injury. How much of a blow was that?
You know, it's interesting because, like you said, I competed in all five events after Vancouver and did fairly well. I finished with a 2-6 and an 8th place. And then I actually went back to school for 2.5 years at Harvard. And then it was kind of a last-minute decision to put everything on hold again to try and compete for Sochi. Now, what made this time around so much more impactful was that my sister actually took time off from her schooling to guide me. So we were a sister team, guide and athlete, which was really pretty awesome. But then right before our first of five main qualifiers at the beginning of December, literally in the training run right before the first race, we just went hard like we would in a race. We wanted to get a little of the feel of it. And I crashed, and I got a pretty bad concussion, and I was out for 5 weeks. And unfortunately, I just didn't have enough races after that to kind of get that time back. But alpine skiing is a risky sport, and you're always on the edge or on that line of either having a great run or crashing hard, and unfortunately, I crossed the line. And it happens. You know, it was definitely a blow, but we came back after the concussion. We did really well at the World Cup, but it just wasn't enough. And unfortunately, that's kind of what the sport entails sometimes.
Go hard or go home.
Exactly.
It's difficult, isn't it? You mentioned your sister. Explain how it works for you then.
Yeah, it was incredible. You know, Jamie, my sister, she went to the University of Notre Dame, and she took a year off from school. And basically, we would train together and race together for, you know, every day for, you know, 8 months or 10 months or whatever. And we'll have helmets with headsets in the helmets so we can communicate via the headsets. So while we're racing down the course. And she'll say, you know, left or right, or for me in particular, I have issues with depth perception. So she'll tell me if there's a pitch coming up or a sharp turn. So communication and trust is obviously key. But I think just having my sister and sharing this experience with her just made it all that much sweeter.
So for those that don't know, you were born with a rare condition, which basically means that you have no eyelids, and skiing for you, I guess, to start with, wasn't a big interest.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm born with a rare and severe syndrome called a blepharon macrostomia. And when I was born, there was really only 13 cases ever documented. And what happens is I was born without eyelids, which led to my visual impairment. I've had about 70 reconstructive surgeries since then. But, I never really thought about skiing until actually after 9/11. My father is a New York City fireman and was involved in 9/11. And after that happened, an organization called Disabled Sports USA reached out and wanted to bring us out to Colorado for their annual event, which was actually a huge event that was about disabled skiing and winter sports. And once we went out there, I fell in love with it. My family fell in love with it. And it really just became a way of life for us. You know, I started skiing, and then I started racing, and then all of a sudden I made the U.S. ski team, you know, as a senior in high school. And then my next goal was the Paralympics. And my family, they all volunteer at the local Adaptive Sports Foundation, so you know, out of something as bad as 9/11, we got such a gift in skiing as a family as a whole, and then also as for me as a competitor.
Gary Anderson from InsideTheGames.biz just with me. And just briefly, Gary, I mean, we haven't touched on all the other sports, but what else are you looking forward to at the Winter Paralympics?
Just to pick up on Gavin's point there, I think the ice sledge hockey will definitely be one of the highlights. It's always good to have a nice tasty rivalry in between Canada and USA. You can't get more tastier than that. And just maybe for the home side, I think Russia in the cross country and biathlon skiing events, it looks set to dominate. They've been the team to beat all through the World Cup season so far. And I think they're in terms of medals for Russia, I think the Nordic skiers are by far the best.
Listen again to our best bits on Audio Boom at BBC Sports World.